some of devotees, all go, some of the devotees, all go to Srila Prabhupada. So today is the auspicious occasion of the appearance of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who, it would not be an exaggeration to say that he single-handedly revived Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Right, shortly after the appearance, shortly after the disappearance of Lord Chaitanya, within a very short period of time, Gaudiya Vaishnavism became contaminated. Things became confused. So many apasampradayas appeared because, for various reasons, I won't go into all of that, but for various reasons that happened, the pure chanting of the holy name was no longer being done. To be called a Vaishnava was an insult, practically. It was considered a debauchee's religion. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was a very responsible, he was Purva Ashram, he was known as Kedarnath Datta. He was a very responsible person. I mean, he very well educated in the English school system, knew Sanskrit, English, the various languages, Bengali, Orissan. When he became interested in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, he could not even find a copy of the Chaitanya Charitamrita or the Srimad Bhagavatam, but specifically the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is the main text of the biography of Lord Chaitanya. He couldn't find it. It took him a long time to find it, which is an indication of how lost the Sampradaya had become because of various, you know, caste Goswamis, Apasampradayas, Sahajism, so many different problems were there. So he dedicated his life to reviving it. And he prayed to Lord Jagannath that Lord Jagannath asked him to do so many things. And he said, I'm too old now. Yes. So he prayed to Lord Jagannath that he could please send him his secretary to assist him. That was Bimal Prasad Datta, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. Those two together. Because it was a father-son team in doing it. Because Bhakti Siddhanta was born when, I think, Bhakti was approximately 38 or 40 years of age. One of his middle sons. So by his great endeavors, he published so many books, Sanskrit, and in Bengali. Not only the works of the six Goswamis, but he also the works of the other Vaishnavacharyas, particularly Ramanujacharya and Madhvacharya, because they have the most extant works. And resurrected various Vaishnava holy places, specifically Mayapur, as the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya, because the caste Goswamis were using, for making money, they were saying that Navadvip was the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya, and then trying to, making a business out of it. You can, have these pandas who take you for tours, and money is exchanged, etc., simply for business. So by his archaeological investigations of old maps and so many different things, he was able to find the actual yoga pit where Lord Chaitanya appeared. And it was when he brought his Shiksha Guru, Jagannath Das Babaji, it confirmed the location as being the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. But then even for some time there was some controversy between the two groups. So this was what Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave us, so many books. He revived Gaudiya Vaishnavism, found the different pastime places of the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and course, he brought into the world the next Acharya, Bhakti Siddhanta. But his Bhakti Thakur, he was a grihastha, a very responsible person. So we can, as most devotees are grihasthas, we can, and of course even sannyasis can utilize the example of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, because sometimes we think, oh, we're grihasthas, we don't have to be serious, that's only for sannyasis. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, a highly responsible man, he was the magistrate. He had approximately between 10 and 14 children. Bhaktisiddhanta used to tease him that he was a Vishaya because he had two wives. His first wife died after having a few children, so he got married again so he could take care of his other wives, his other children. So Bhaktisiddhanta used to tease him that he was an incense enjoyer. But this is teasing, because obviously that was not the case. He would work, his karmi job was a judge. He was so expert, he could finish up cases in just a few minutes. Nobody else could match him. He could immediately, he could ascertain at the very beginning who was innocent, who was guilty, give all the legal reasons, and finish the case very quickly. And then he had, he was such an important judge that the English built a railway track right to his home so that he could get to the court quickly. And he studied all the shastras. You know, sometimes we say, oh, we have a job, we have family, we barely have time to chant a japa. Where we will find the time to read? Where do we will find the time to study? Where will we find the time to read Prabhupada's books? How many people here are initiated? Raise your hand. Okay. Of those of you who are initiated, how many have read the Gita? Raise your hand. Okay, that's good. How many of you have read the Bhagavatam? All of the Bhagavatam. The whole Bhagavatam. There's very few. I could count on the fingers of one hand. Okay, now how many of you have read the Chaitanya Charitamrita? Two. Maybe some over here. So that's not a good. And how long? That means these devotees have been initiated. Many of devotees. And I was talking to one devotee. He's been initiated 16 years ago. He's only now up to the third canto. That's not a good sign. But you can't say this is an excuse that you have a job. Bhaktivinoda Thakur had a very important job. He had, who has 10 children these days? 10 or 14 children. He had that many children. Yet still, he not only read all the shastras, he personally wrote over 100 works himself. Which is because he had to read the shastras first before he wrote these texts. That means, this is the example which we have to set. We have to also become learned. Otherwise, it's the same thing that happened after Lord Chaitanya left will happen in ISKCON. It becomes just a social club. It'll become deteriorated. Sahajya, all these different types of imperfections will enter in. Because if the members don't understand what is the Siddhanta, how will you be able to identify if something is not going correctly? That's why we have to follow in his footsteps. And somebody will say, oh no, he was a special person. That he was a special person, and you know, we can't do that. Acharya means he shows by his example so that we can follow it. We don't use that as an excuse that because he was doing it that we shouldn't do it. No, it's because he is doing it, we should do it. You know, it's a false logic there. Is some water coming? Okay, good. It's a false logic to say that because he was doing, we can't do it. Otherwise, what is the point of showing the example if this becomes the reason why we shouldn't do it? Yeah, no, this. So some people have this logic, you know, that, oh, he's special, only he could do it. No. It's because he's able to do it, that means we also, he's not, you know, he's also just a jiva. That means we have the capacity to do the same thing. What's the difference? We have to want to do it. If we don't want to do it, we'll find so many reasons. You know, the what's that cricket team? They have a new cricket league, right? So that we have to watch the cricket matches. And that takes how many hours? A test match takes how long? Huh? How many hours per day? Hours, right? But in that time, you could have read half of the Srimad Bhagavatam. In that length of time, right? So we have to... The examples are made so that we can actually follow them. That's one point. That's a very important point in the study of Bhakti Vinod's life. And also, to understand Bhakti Vinod, how do we understand Bhakti Vinod Thakur? We have to understand Bhakti Vinod Thakur through our acharyas, in the Guru Parampara. Because there are many people who tried, even shortly after his disappearance, there was already controversies about how to understand the teachings of Bhakti Vinod Thakur. You know, Bhakti Siddhanta wrote an article in The Harmonist, I think it was in 1921 or 31, that already, you know, a controversy had appeared. There were many followers of Bhakti Vinod Thakur who could, you know, they could recite verbatim the complete works of Bhakti Siddhanta, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, but who didn't understand one word. They could recite everything, but understanding nothing. We have to serve him. You know, so we understand Bhakti Vinod Thakur through Srila Prabhupada, who understood through Bhakti Siddhanta. Bhakti Siddhanta was the prayed for son. Bhakti Vinod prayed to Jagannath for Bhakti Siddhanta. And he said of Bhakti Siddhanta that Bhakti Siddhanta was sent by Lord Chaitanya to perform two duties. Establish the pure chanting of the holy name and the establishment of Daivi Varnashram. And somebody could bring some water. The water never arrived. So that's, you know, so Bhakti Siddhanta was the son of Bhakti Vinod Thakur. He had many other sons, but Bhakti Siddhanta was special. He was Bimal Prasad. He had the special mercy. He understood the mood of Bhakti Vinod. He was a shishya of Bhakti Vinod. He was initiated by Bhakti Vinod into worship of Shaligram and Kurmadev and various mantras. He was, all of the books that Bhakti Vinod Thakur wrote, Bhakti Siddhanta edited them all. He knew the works of Bhakti Vinod inside and out because he edited everything that Bhakti Vinod Thakur wrote. He was a confidant of Bhakti Vinod Thakur. You know, so he knew the Manobishtam of Bhakti Vinod Thakur. And one other person also knew the Manobishtam of Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Bhakti Vinod Thakur's wife. That is the difference between him and Bhakti Vinod Swami. Bhakti Vinod Swami doesn't have a wife. But his wife, Bhagavati, was also a pure devotee of the Lord. She was a very... When Bhakti Vinod Thakur passed away and Bhakti Siddhanta arrived, everybody else in the family was completely in chaos, weeping, crying, tears falling. Only one who was sober was Bhagavati. She was sober, she was clear-minded. And to pacify her, Bhakti Siddhanta, you know, was saying so many, you know, things about Bhakti Vinod Thakur. And then she just replied that before he left, he was just showering blessings on Bhakti Siddhanta. And why do I say that she knew the Manobishtam of Bhakti Vinod Thakur? Because on her deathbed, Bhakti Siddhanta was not very much interested in his other family members. There were, you know, one of his sisters came, she just wanted to talk, and he just was very tired of her, you know. But with his mother, when on his mother's deathbed, he went to her deathbed, and she pleaded, she asked him that you please fulfill the order of your father, please fulfill a desire of your father to preach all over the world. It was because of her, because she understood the mind of her husband. She was a disciple of her husband. I have in this hand already. The wife is the shishya of the husband, right? In the grihastha ashram, whose ashram is it? The husband's ashram, and wife is for shishya. So she was a disciple of Bhakti Vinod Thakur. She was later Bhaktisiddhanta established a samadhi for his mother. That's how much he thought of her. So it's because of his mother, you could say, I'm sitting here. Because Bhaktisiddhanta then set his disciples to the West. First England, Germany, and then Srila Prabhupada to the United States. All because of Bhaktisiddhanta's mother, who knew the mood of her husband. Like that. The other thing about, Bhakti Vinod Thakur that he shared with many devotees in ISKCON. He had a problem with his Diksha Guru. Some devotees in ISKCON in different parts of the world, not much in India, but other parts of the world, they've had problem with their Diksha Guru. Does anybody know who is Bhakti Vinod Thakur's Diksha Guru? Nobody, right? He knows. Nobody knows because he had a problem with his Diksha Guru. His Diksha Guru, if you read the autobiography, he mentions the name of his Diksha Guru. The name was Bipin Bihari Goswami. And he had great devotion for him. But then as time went on, he began to discover that his Diksha Guru did not have all the qualities found in Shastra. In fact, his Diksha Guru had some anartha, a big anartha, which he was very caste conscious, bodily conscious. He was a caste Goswami. He realized he was a caste Goswami. In fact, everybody heard that there was that famous Brahmana Vaishnava debate that which Bhakti Siddhanta, the leader of the opposing party was Bipin Bihari Goswami. You can imagine the situation. So that's why you'll find in the Guru Parampara that after Bhakti Vinod Thakur comes Jagannath Das Babaji. The Diksha Guru is forgotten because he was not up to the standard. So then Bhakti Vinod Thakur took shiksha from Jagannath Das Babaji. So when the Ritviks in Rajaji Nagar say that no guru ever fell, they didn't know about this. It totally blows a hole in their philosophy. So this was a problem that Bhakti Vinod Thakur himself had. So he went to the shiksha of a higher devotee. So this is not a new problem. Of course, Bipin Bihari didn't have any gross fall down, but a philosophical fall down is more difficult to fix than sensual fall down, because it's ingrained in the mind as opposed to something sensual. So next time some Ritvik tells you that nobody ever fell down, that is after the Ritvik initiation, and you can mention this point about Bhakti Vinod Thakur. This only recently came up in a discussion in the Prabhupada Disciples Conference on Pam Ho, that this point that Bhakti Vinod Thakur actually had the same problem. There's another, you could say, controversy that sometimes people make about the Bhakti Vinod Thakur, that is about the Chaitanya Upanishad, which Bhakti Vinod Thakur discovered as part of the Atharva Veda. And some people, despite the fact that of his impeccable credentials, his honesty, some people question the validity of the Chaitanya Upanishad. Why they never found it before? What's the answer to that? Anybody have an answer to that? It's a part of the Atharva Veda. In India today, of course, there used to be 1,000 shakas of the Rig Veda. Now there's, I think, maybe 2, maybe 3. But still, those persons who are followers of the Vedas, they're mostly going to be Rig Vedis and Yajur Vedis, right? All over India. Rig Veda, either a Rig Veda or a Yajurveda. Shukla Yajurveda, Krishna Yajurveda. Then there'll be a few who are followers of Samaveda. That'll be much less. Right? But when it comes to Atharva Veda, practically nobody is following Atharva Veda. Atharva Veda is only found in two places in the world, in India. In a small section of Maharashtra and in Orissa. That's the only place that the Atharva Veda is recited, where there are Veda Patshalas for teaching Atharva Veda. So, where was Bhaktivinoda Thakur? He was in Orissa. He had access to these Shastras. And it's very rare. It's not very many people are following. It's practically, you know, if we're very lucky, it may not be died out in the within the next 50 years, because there's very, very few who are following this. But that is how he found this Chaitanya Upanishad as a part of the Atharva Veda. And of course, Orissa is famous for other things. That, for example, just recently was Radhastami. So when they were going to install the first, they didn't have any Radharani deities in Vrindavan at the time of the Six Goswamis. So when they installed deities of Radharani, they had to bring them from Orissa. That's the only place where Radharani was worshipped, was in Orissa, under the Atharva Veda, and the Pipalayana Rishi, like that. So, if you ever come up with this controversy about, because some people will criticize, they'll try to find fault with our Sampradaya, there are people who do that. So they'll make this criticism, so that is the answer. That because the Atharva Veda is only found in Orissa, that's how he was able to have access to it. So, how much more time is there? Are they almost finished with the Abhishek? Okay. So Bhaktivinoda, in his visions, from his house on the other side of Swarup Ganj, he would see manifesting across the Jalangi River a wonderful effulgent city in the place where the yoga pit is, in the direction of the yoga pit. And he predicted that Lord Chaitanya's prediction would be fulfilled, that where in every village and town in the world that his holy name would be chanted. And so he also predicted this would happen, that, and he wrote how people from all over the world would come to India to worship Lord Chaitanya. That was a strategy then the Bhakti Siddhanta, to send his men overseas, because he said that the Indian people are enamored by the glitter of the West. We can't call it Western civilization. can't call it Western culture, because it's not culture. It's anti-culture. As one British historian said, that the difference between Americans and others, that they had a rise and a fall with no civilization in between. So people, that's what people are trying to imitate. So Bhaktisiddhanta's strategy is, we make devotees in the West and then bring them back to India to wake up the people of India. So when Bhaktisiddhanta was there, he had very limited success, because he himself wanted to go, but he had to manage 64 mutts in India. And that was without computers, without telephones, without mobiles. He able to manage. He was such an expert administrator. He's able to simultaneously do many programs at the same time. You know, and stop. That Hare Krishna. Narasimha Swami, Prabhu is here. Our dear friend. Just came out of the hospital. So when Srila Prabhupada went, and he was when I can't remember what was saying that when Bon Maharaj came back from England, and they met him in Bombay, Sridhar Swami, Prabhupada's godfather, and Prabhupada met him. So they were asking him, what, you know, how was the preaching in England? And he said, oh, it's impossible, you know. They have so many arguments. So Sridhar Swami said, so what are all these arguments? So he'd give one argument, and then he'd ask Srila Prabhupada. So then Srila Prabhupada would just defeat that argument. And every one of the things that Bon Maharaj said, then Srila Prabhupada defeated the whole thing. So then Srila Swami said, what was the value of your preaching? So then Srila Prabhupada himself went about 30 years later, 30, 35 years later, he went, and he was able to fulfill the desires of Bhakti Siddhanta, which was to fulfill the desire of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And because of that, when Western devotees started coming in, then Indian people began to realize. I mean, there was one life member here in Bangalore when I first came in 1981. Some devotees remember him. His name was Ramesh Bhai Patel. He owned Sri Milk Supply in Seshadripuram. You remember him? So he told me once that, he said, when I first met you all, I thought you were CIA agents. He told me, I thought you were all CIA agents. But now, he says, I realize how close I came to losing my culture. How close he came. Because of associating with the... Because when we were first here, there was an 80, 90% of devotees were from the West. So that was who was, you know, established ISKCON in Bangalore. We used to go to his home. So he realized, by seeing so many Western devotees taking up Vedic culture, he realized how close he had come to losing everything. But because of the devotees of ISKCON, he, you know, realized the value of his own culture. And his whole family became, you know, more interested. And this was just, if he's saying that, that means 10,000 other people are saying the same thing. But this is the power of Bhaktivinoda. It's all because of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Because and that means we are also, all of us, you know, we have that responsibility. That when we take initiation, what's the answer, Maharaj? That when we take initiation, what did I tell you? Before taking initiation? No. You said that I told you.
Well, you told me.
Yeah.
What? Yes,
when we take initiation, we have to full time, that means we have to give our life. It's not a joke. Because we are the link in the parampara, either by diksha or by shiksha. Because, you know, Srila Prabhupada is not your diksha, but he's your shiksha guru. So we have the responsibility. Are we going to be, you know, what does Krishna say? Yoga nashta parantapa. That due course of time, the sampradaya was broken. When I first read that sloka, I said, how is this possible? Who would ever do that? Who would ever break the guru parampara? I thought, this is unimaginable. But with my own eyes, I'm seeing it happen. With my own, over the last so many, I've seen it happen with my own eyes. So we have to decide, what are we going to be? Are we going to be a strong link or a broken link? You can't, there's no other. Yeah. Weak link means about to be broken. Which are you going to be? And because if we're not a strong link, then how are we going to be able to continue carrying this message? So our life duty, at whatever cost, is to present the teachings purely. You know, it doesn't matter, you know, oh, this is a different, we have to be modern. They'll say, people will say, you have to be modern. We have computers today. We have the internet. They didn't have that before. Right? People will say like that. But what was the problems of material existence before? 10 million years ago, the problem of material existence was eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Unless you're in corporate culture, when it is eating, sleeping, meeting, and defending. You have to meet all the time. They just had meeting over here recently, so he knows. So many meetings. But that was the problem before. Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. That was the problem yesterday. Is the problem today. What are they doing on the internet? Eating, meeting, mating. They have their shadi.com, right? So many... That's mating. And those who are not into, they have their, all these pornography sites. And then where to find a restaurant. They're working on the internet so that you can get a job. So you can feel your belly. Belly filling problem is there. And also defending, so many cyber wars are there. Now there's cyber warfare. China is attacking the Pentagon. China is attacking the Indian defense system all through the internet. So the same thing. Nothing has changed. And tomorrow, the main problems will be eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. And the problem of life are the same before. Birth, death, old age, and disease. That's the problem today, and that will be the problem tomorrow. That means what? If that the problem is the same, the solution is the same. Not that, oh, it's modern. Modern time. Modern means what? Modern means what is modern now will not be modern 5 seconds, you know, 10 seconds. It's changing. What is modern today will not be modern 1 year from now. What is the definition of reality in the Bhagavad Gita? That which has no duration is unreal. And that which has no cessation is real. So by modern actually means unreal. That which is modern means it's not real. Because it's always changing. There's no duration. But eternal principles, they never change. Because our problem didn't change. Birth, death, old age, and disease is the same. Whether you die with a laptop in your hand or without one, you're still dead. Right? So many ways to be born. No, only one way to be born. So many interesting ways to die. Many interesting ways. But only one way to be born. But death, you know. But these are the real problems. When I say interesting, means horrible. For the most part, for most of you, death will not be pleasant. I can assure you. I've had personal experience coming this close. It's not going to be pleasant. We may be lucky. We may have 100 devotees around us chanting the holy names. We may not be. You may not be. Just because you're a devotee doesn't mean it's all going to be easy. If anybody's heard that, the Prabhupada Japa tape, where Prabhupada says, sit up straight. Yeah, Prabhupada says, sit up straight. He's saying that to my godbrother, Manasatita, Italian devotee. When I was in Italy, they told me how he died. He was walking on the road. He got hit by a car. They thought the driver stopped, thought he was dead, dragged the body off into the fields, thinking, you know, nope, he's dead already. When they found the body after some time, he hadn't died. He had been alive. But he had wild animals attacked him, and he died fighting them. They found his half-devoured body. The point being is, just because you think you're a devotee, doesn't mean there will be no material problem. Death can come in any way, shape, or form. Because when you were born, how you were going to die has already been planned. You know. Or because we're devotees, it'll be... No, it's not going to be that way. The 5 sons of the Pandavas, 5 sons, they were... You know, they when the Pandavas went to the forest, those sons went to Dwarka. They were personally raised by Subhadra. The sister of Krishna, Subhadra Mai over here, she raised them. Pradyumna was their master in Dhanurveda. They were, Krishna and Balaram petted their heads. How did they die? Murdered in their sleep. When Krishna said, material world is dukkalayam ashashvatam, he was not joking. He was not kidding. So our responsibility in the Guru Parampara is to teach the knowledge without deviation, without caring what anybody else may say. Because when you're lying, dying, when you're in your deathbed dying, they are not going to be able to help you. If you have been embarrassed by your guru and by Krishna by not wanting to speak the truth, because you're embarrassed by what they said, you become embarrassed by Krishna, you become embarrassed by Srila Prabhupada or by your guru. If you become embarrassed by them, and at the time of your death, they will be embarrassed to know you. You will not be able to chant the holy name. And when you're dying, it is extremely difficult. You cannot imagine how difficult it will be for most of us. Some of us, like I said, we may be very lucky that you have a choir around you. You may not be. You may find yourself, in a car accident. So many devotees died in car accidents. Almost died. So that being able to chant the holy name in that condition only comes through the mercy of your guru, that you'll be able to even say the holy name. Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj gave a, when he was here last time, he told an interesting story about being able to chant the holy name. Anybody read that book, Salted Bread? So that book is about the devotees in Russia, former Armenia, the terrible things they had to go through. Really terrible things they had to go through. They were arrested, beaten, backs broken, really horribly beaten. And the KGB said, if you simply renounce this religion in writing, you can go home and practice, we don't care. But publicly you should denounce it, and then we won't send you to the prison. We won't send you to the gulag. No devotee agreed that. They all went to the gulag, died in the gulag, some of them. Except one man. He signed. Because he figured, I can go home, I can do. After he signed that, Bhakti began swaying. He said, that man could never pronounce the name of Krishna again. He couldn't. He tried as hard as he could. He couldn't say Hare Krishna. Because he had denounced Krishna to save his life. He could not pronounce the name of Krishna. So it's only by the mercy of the Guru and of Krishna that you can even say the holy name. So when you're dying, there's only going to be your only friend will be the holy name. And you'll only be able to chant the holy name if you have been loyal in the Guru Parampara. Because that's the only person who's going to be able to help you. We're not running for public office. We're not politicians. We don't have to be popular. We don't have to be popular. We only have to be popular with two people. Guru and Krishna. That's the only ones that we have to be popular. If they're happy, then everything else is okay. If they're not happy, the rest of the world can be happy. But that's not going to help you. So today on Bhaktivinoda Thakur's appearance day, who totally revived the Sampradaya, we have to make it our firm commitment that it doesn't happen again. What happened after the disappearance of Lord Chaitanya, that it doesn't descend again. Because if there are many firm, strong links in the Sampradaya, then that's like the way the Vedic system works. Unlike in Christianity, like the Catholic Church, which is centrally a centralization, the Vedic system is more like the internet. The internet, to use that analogy, is designed in such a way that if a certain section breaks, it continues on by circuiting around it. So that's why if there's so many branches, so many twigs, so many segments in the Sampradaya, that even if one is broken, it carries on from a different area. That's why there's also four Sampradayas. One of the ways that the Gaudiya Sampradaya was revived was because Bhakti Siddhanta, he came to South India and he learned from many Sri Vaishnavas, specifically You know, about, for example, sannyas ashram. Maharaj is a sannyasi. Why? Because Bhakti Siddhanta learned the mantras in Sri Parambadur from the Sri Sampradaya. So that means that there's four sampradayas for a reason. Sort of, people here are in computer literate, they know what a RAID system is. That means there's a fail-safe system in case one of your hard drives crashes, you have others to pick up. So like a car has got four wheels, if one wheel goes out, you still have three wheels to carry on. So actually you could say the Gaudiya Sampradaya was revived with the help of the Sri Sampradaya and the Madhva Sampradaya, because Bhakti Siddhanta, we published all the works of those acharyas. Bhakti Siddhanta personally came to South India and he brought back to Navadvip a Madhva Pandit and a Pandit from the Sri Sampradaya to teach his disciples for 2 years. You know, how to defeat Mayavad. So that is what... So imagine, Bhakti Siddhanta read the Bhagavatam 108 times, as well as the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And we have some disciples who after 16 years haven't gotten past the third or fourth canto. But that's not what Bhakti Siddhanta wanted. He wanted that, and Bhakti Vinod wanted that to be very well-learned. And that way the Sampradaya will be protected. So are we ready yet?
Yeah, ready. Yeah.
Okay, I'm finished and they're ready. Good. Can I ask for questions? One question? Anybody have any questions before we stop? Okay, that's it. Thank you very much. Bhakti Vinod Thakur Ki Jai. This establishing of this temple is also in the mood of Bhakti Vinod Thakur, who is the one who started the... Everyone heard of the Bhakta Bhiksha programs in Namahatta? This is all the inspiration of Bhakti Vinod Thakur.
Hari, Hari.
Jai.